it, repetition, it really begins to stick. And we know these things, but yet when we come to the world, the world seems to draw us away quicker than we realize. And so by the repetition in these first chapters, it really gets into our heart and our mind. And so that's kind of what we're going to do this morning. Brother Rob, why don't you ask the Lord blessing on the service? All right, so this is where we're at. We've already covered God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then God's angels, and we're going to get into that in the next couple of weeks in quite a bit of detail. Lucifer, Satan, all that, and Adam and Eve. So this is where we're at, that little red arrow there. And that kind of, we haven't covered very much, but we have covered a lot, as you'll see, as we kind of recapitulate all this stuff. Sin, obviously, brought about terrible consequences and a severe curse to this world. And we're all living in the consequences every day of that curse. That's why we are going to die, like it or not. We're going to die because of that sin. That's bad news, and that part should really grip our hearts, and that's why I tried to be quite careful as I was covering the last few weeks to help us understand the seriousness of that curse. We read through it real fast, and, he cursed them, and that's fine. But I think we've missed a lot by running too fast through that. But we'll see God's mercy and his grace and the fact that he provides hope throughout all of this, and we're going to cover a little bit of that today. We learn about that hope as we go on lesson after lesson. To stop and think, where we've come from just in three chapters is absolutely amazing. If we get far enough, I'll show you 17. Actually, there's more in there, but I compiled some of them together. But there's at least 17 characteristics of God himself just in the first three chapters so far. And we'll review some of these. And that's why we're calling this, of course, the firm foundation. It's so important that we get a hold of this. Now, God showed Adam and Eve that he was a merciful and a gracious God, okay? He was merciful in that they did not experience that eternal death that they deserved. Yes, they died spiritually, but they were still alive physically. The spiritual death came immediately. But the physical death was prolonged, and from that point, instead of being perfect, now they're digressing and getting worse and worse until one day they're going to die. Had both of those, both the physical and the spiritual death, been imposed without mercy, and this is where some people get a little bit confused, the eternal death would have followed immediately without the mercy of God, and man would have been forced to live in their sinful condition the rest of their, for eternity, actually. So you see God's mercy right off the bat. He is a merciful God by allowing them not to be punished. Mercy is when you deserve something and he holds back. He doesn't give it. We deserved to be eternally punished for our sin. But because of his mercy, he held back on that and allowed us to live physically. And then we can go ahead and have that possibility of receiving the Redeemer, the Messiah, and being saved. Otherwise, we would have been eternally damned, and it would have been impossible for redemption. He was gracious in the fact that he promised to send that deliverer in Genesis 3:15. You're going to see more and more as we go through. But this fact of mercy and grace, it is so important that you get a hold of this. Mercy and grace are two different things, but both are right in the book of Genesis, and there's so many people that they say, well, grace wasn't in the Old Testament, that's New Testament. Well, we call it the age of grace, the church age, but grace was there from the very beginning, and we'll show you even as we get into this Garden of Eden thing, how God shows his grace to us. So notice the picture here. Oh, what happened here? We went backwards. There we go. After Adam and Eve disobeyed God, they became aware of the fact that they were naked. You try to find a picture like this, and they're almost non-existent. They have them with, you know, just a little bikini type thing, and just basically covering themselves the least amount that's possible. That is totally unbiblical. That's not what God did. And they missed the entire teaching of what it says. In Genesis 3, verse 7, it says, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. Now just think about that. The very first thing that comes to their mind is that they're naked. That sinful condition, that lost condition, should strike a believer. It should strike a lost person. One of the first things they should recognize, man, I'm naked. It says, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves, notice, aprons. They chose to put the picture like most people portray this. They don't portray it as a nice something that is covering them. They portray something as like a little short shorts and a bikini top or something. And that's not the purpose. That's not what God did. They made the aprons. God made the coat. And they're totally different things. The first time there was shame, and they were embarrassed, so they made coverings of leaves for themselves. Our modern society, our modern man, if you please, has so quenched the Spirit of God that men and women feel no shame or guilt walking almost naked. We just got back last night from down in Puerto Rico. I mean, when we're trying to take pictures of each other, the couples that we went with, we had to wait because we wanted to make it G-rated just to take pictures, and it was hard. People just absolutely naked. Now, why do I say that? I don't care if you're at Walmart, if you're on the street, if you're on the beach, wherever. There's nakedness everywhere. Now, we make every excuse and call everything by different names in order to make aprons, just like Adam and Eve. You ever notice it used to be a coffin? Now they call it a casket or the dwelling place. I've heard all kinds of stuff. That instead of death or being dead, well, they passed on. We try to change the terminology. We try to soften everything by getting different terms, and we justify what we're doing by these things. And what's happened, and I'll try to explain what I believe has happened here. Nakedness refers to a lack of what? Hello? Lack of clothing. What did they have there? They saw that they had a lack of clothing. So they tried to sew fig leaves together and cover their private parts, but was that enough? Not to God. Nakedness refers to a lack of clothing. The earliest mention is in Genesis 2:25, where Adam and Eve are described as being naked and unashamed. What was Adam's and Eve's reaction? Cover their flesh. Adam and Eve, their reaction was to cover their flesh. Why? Because their flesh is exposed. Now, what was God's reaction? That was not enough. Not just to cover the private parts. God said, I want the flesh, the flesh to be covered. God covered their whole flesh. Their little apron was not enough. The word apron is it's a loincloth. That's all. That's basically it, just a loincloth. And I know you might get upset. That's just throw rocks. I don't care. What do we do? We see what Adam and Eve did. They made a loincloth, made aprons. God said, no, I will not accept it. God covered their flesh with robes. I mean, he covered them up. What do we do? How do we see it? What's our reaction? We have succumbed to sensuality. You can't sell a car without a half-naked woman on it. You can't sell a toothbrush without a naked woman on it. You can't, a toe clipper, you got to have some sensual in there. It don't make any difference what it is. We have succumbed to a sensual lifestyle. We've accepted the lost world's worldview instead of the Christian worldview, because we have not understood what God has done here. I'm not talking about the world right now. I'm talking about Christians. Christians show no shame. I mean, people on the beaches and stuff, lost. I understand that. They're going to act like lost people. What I can't understand is why Christians feel no shame. Now, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7 says, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. I told our group several times, different ones, that this is the situation that I believe Lot would have been in Sodom. There is so much promiscuity. There is so much wickedness. There is so much flesh that it says he vexed his soul with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Not their talk, the filthy conversation, their manner of life. It was all there, all around them, and you cannot go into a pig pen. I lived on a hog farm. And you work on that hog farm, you go out there, I don't care if it's to feed the pigs or just walk through the Pharaoh's house or something and never touch nothing. When you come out and you come to church, everybody's going to know you've been down in the hog pen. Why? because it gets on you. Dr. Charles Weigel used to write music, "No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus." He wrote that after his wife walked out on him one day because he was a preacher. He had a rose garden, and he loved to work in his rose garden and everything. And he'd come to church or in the school, and the students say, "Dr. Weigel, you've been in your rose garden, haven't you?" "Well, yeah, how you know?" "It's all over you." Whether it's a hog pen, people that say, like guys try, they say, "Well, you know, nobody knows I'm smoking." When somebody walks in that door, you can tell right immediately whether they've been smoking or not. When I was smoking as a young married man, I couldn't tell. I couldn't smell nothing. I had no idea how it stuck to your hair and how it stuck to your clothes. And you walk into a place and everybody knows you've been smoking. When we are around the filthy conversation of the wicked, it vexes us. It desensitizes us. It sears our conscience to the point that we don't care anymore. These things do not bother us anymore. Day after day, that it sears our conscience and lures us into maybe not doing the real bad things, but we're involved in the other things that God said ought to make us ashamed. People say, "Well, I didn't raise my kids that way, but, you know, well, what happened?" We allowed them to be around the world so much that it vexed their soul. People think I was nuts, but I chose my children's friends. And a lot of Christian kids, I wouldn't let them hang around with. And I'll compare mine. You can go find them on the mission field and in the pulpits. You can go ahead and find theirs in the prisons and in the drug dens and stuff like this. They would vex the souls of their children. And that's what happens here. That ungodly lifestyle begins to be like that stink on a hog farmer. And before long, you're caught up in this. And, "Well, I didn't raise them that way." Well, they're vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. How many of you heard people say, "Well, I raised them right, and they went to college, and boy, they won't hear a thing I got to say no more"? Now, how'd that happen? They're not just teaching from their school book. They are inundated all around. They are being vexed daily by the filthy conversation of the wicked, and we want them to come back from college and expect that they're just going to be super saints. We have allowed this to happen. And that's why you go to Walmart, and what do you find? That's why when you go to weddings, I never understood why you go to a wedding and somebody will dress halfway naked and have their shoulders all the way down to here almost. That's for your husband. That's not for everybody. The honeymoon hadn't started yet. This is a wedding. This is a vows before God. And God said you ought to be ashamed. People out running around with on the beaches and everything, and they've got nothing. Nothing. Christians. And there's no shame. It don't bother people to go to the beach or the pool or the cruises or whatever and just get naked and walk out there in your underwear with everybody else. What did God say? What did God do? How did he react? He put clothes on him. He covered the flesh. Their covering was not accepted. Their covering was not enough. God rejected it. And yet somehow we have come to the point that we're running just with the rest of them. I'm so proud of our group. We went, I mean, we stood out. And I think brought glory to the Lord. And always, everybody passing out tracts and having a good time and everything. But Christianity has taken on a worldview, a worldly worldview. And we've justified these things, and we just put a different name on it. Well, it's not underwear, it's bikinis or swimming suits. No, it's nakedness. It's a lack of clothing. God would not accept the clothing that Adam and Eve made. Would he accept ours? Nothing wrong with being naked in your house, in your bedroom, with your husband or wife. God said that's not defiled. But outside of that, a lack of clothing is sin, whether you want to call it that or not. That's what it is. He would not accept theirs. Would he accept ours? Now be honest. You think God would be proud? God would be honored? God would be exalted by ours? Genesis 3:21, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. The problem was they were unclothed. Oh, they had loincloth. God said, that's not enough. Number two, they could not do anything by their self, by their own effort, to make them acceptable to God. Sowing them fig leaves did not make them acceptable to God. There is nothing that you and I can do to make ourselves acceptable unto God. Why? Because it's us that's doing it. Now, in God's grace, and this is grace here, God provided clothing for Adam and Eve. They didn't deserve it, but he gave them something they didn't deserve. And in his mercy, he locked them out of the garden because he'd had to kill them. Now, the third thing here, by refusing the coverings Adam and Eve made, God was teaching them that there was nothing that man can do to make themselves acceptable to him. Absolutely nothing. Man's covering was made of fig leaves and only an apron or loincloth. But God's was made of shedding blood and to completely cover the lack of clothing, the nakedness. This is not rocket science. It's so basic and so simple, but we have forgot what Genesis chapter 3 is teaching us. God says, your thinking is wrong. It's not my thinking. Your way, what you're doing is not my way, not my thinking. It's not the way I am the one that's going to do it. I'm the one that's going to make everything acceptable. Now, in Genesis 3:21, and to Adam also and to his wife, the Lord God did make coats of skin and clothed them. God will only accept what is done his way. Only. That's why a lot of people worshiping. When they was worshiping the calf, did God accept that worship? No. Why? Because it wasn't God's way. offerings made by priests that were wicked priests? Did God accept that? No. You go back and you look at the offerings and the prayers and the songs and all of these different things. They were worshiping God over and over throughout the scriptures. And God says, I will not accept your worship. It is in vain. It is worthless. Why? Because we're not doing it God's way. And that's why we're careful here in this church to worship him in spirit and in truth, in doing things the way God says. We have a biblical reason for everything we do. And we should. God will only accept what's done his way. Throughout history of the world, people have tried many different ways to make themselves acceptable unto God. Well, if I get baptized, that had nothing to do with salvation. Well, maybe if I sprinkle that baby while he's young, because he might die, here in the next couple of years, I'll sprinkle him now. That don't make you acceptable, God. Why? It's not God. It's not God's way. God didn't do it. He didn't sanction it. It's totally bogus. All of these things, doing the religious activities, following certain rules, trying to be good, attending church, being baptized, being confirmed. I was confirmed. The only reason we want to be confirmed so we could drink that wine. In the military, they didn't have Luther chapel, so we went to the Episcopals. Why? Only reason. I mean, everybody had to go to church somewhere. So we went to the Episcopals so we could get the wine. You say, you wicked thing. Yeah, I was. All worship and all these things, it whatever man's doing, it does not meet God's standard because it's not God's way. Some people think they're better than others, and if I have believing parents, or Uncle John was a preacher, or my brother, or my dad, or somebody was a missionary or something, that's going to get them to heaven. No, it's not. It's not. That's all of man. It has nothing to do with God. Well, I come to church on Christmas and Easter. God ought to be satisfied. That's not going to make it. But going 365 days a year for a Christian ain't going to make it. Because it's not in going to church. No matter how good, how religious, how self-sacrificing, nothing that man can do can ever make us acceptable to God. Get that down deep in your heart. Nothing that man can ever do will make him acceptable to God. Now, the penalty for disobedience was death. Adam and Eve died spiritually. But now we come to this point, and death did not stop with the physical. There'd never been a death, physical, on the earth. But because of Adam and Eve's sins, now animals had to die to provide clothing to cover Adam and Eve. The first death of an animal was caused by God in order to provide clothing to cover Adam and Eve's nakedness. When God killed the animal, he was demonstrating to Adam and Eve that disobedience to him had brought death into the world. Every hamburger you eat, every ham at Christmas or Thanksgiving or whenever you eat it, every chicken you put in that Baptist stomach. I love baptizing chickens, amen. Place them into the ministry. It ought to remind us that the result of that, or this is a result of sin. Because of Adam's sin, there was no death before that. And now an innocent animal had to die in order to cover up Adam and Eve's nakedness. Now, notice it was Adam's fault. Before they sinned, there was no death in the world. God had placed Adam as the authority over the earth and all living things. So death entered the world because of Adam's sin. The animals Adam enjoyed, he named them. I think he you know, when you put names on people and animals and stuff, you get familiar with them. There wasn't animosity, there wasn't fear, there wasn't anything. I mean, he might go out there and scratch the old elephant or the rhino on the nose and things like this, and just, he enjoyed it all, enjoyed every one of them. How many of you have pets? How many of you would go out and not feel bad if somebody gave you a gun and said, kill him? That'd be kind of rough, wouldn't it? Everything was perfect. And these animals that that Adam had named and no doubt knew them, now they're going to die because of his nakedness. See how much more serious nakedness is than just, well, it's nakedness. He's going to have to face this. It is his fault. The animals that Adam enjoyed and named had to be killed because of his sin. Innocent, did nothing. Did nothing. But now they have to die. Because he sinned, every living creature on the earth dies. Not responsible just for his death, but that sin was so bad that it has caused every human being, every animal, every living creature on this world to die. Everything living, every living thing would die because of this. Now, Genesis 3:21 again. Unto Adam. Notice that. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. God did not tell Adam and Eve to go out and kill an animal and provide themselves with clothes. He had to be the one to provide them with acceptable covering. God is the one that set the standard. God is the one that killed the animals. God is the one that shed the innocent blood of the animal. God took the skins off the animal. God made the clothing and put that on Adam and Eve. What would you want to cover you? What would be sufficient for you? God says, I have my robe of righteousness here. Adam says, I got my loincloth over here. What's going to cover your sin? You can choose man's way, or you can choose God's way. What's going to cover it? Man's way is not going to cover it. God's way would cover it. Do you think a God's robe of righteousness would look like a robe or a Speedo? You say, that's ridiculous. No. Not so much. We miss the spiritual aspect of what God says in these things. And we are vexed with the filthy lifestyle of the world, and it has permeated us to thinking this stuff is okay. And God says, no, it's not okay. God was emphasizing that he alone can make sinners acceptable to him. He's the only one that can make us acceptable. God did not merely give the clothing to him and tell them to dress themselves. He clothed them in a covering that was acceptable to him. Did he ask them, what do you think? No. Because it didn't matter what they thought. It was what God thought. Isaiah chapter 61 verse 10 says, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. Thank God for what he's done. So God puts Adam and Eve out of the garden, away from the tree of life. In Genesis 3:22, and the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. Notice he says, as one of who? Us. The Trinity is standing there and talking and saying, look, man has become of one in us. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Before Adam and Eve disobeyed God, they knew only what was good. And that's why Satan tempted them. Well, your eyes will be opened. I mean, you'll know. You'll be as God. All that God had given them was perfect, and everything that he told them to do was right. At that time, they knew nothing of Satan and his deception. Satan had deceived Eve into believing that it would be good for her and Adam to eat that fruit. But when they ate the fruit, they were immediately filled with what? Fear and shame. Do we fear? If I'm going to walk out and don't get that picture in your mind. If think about the difference in the world and what we allow and what we justify compared to what God is saying. The shame and fear immediately that came. What had they discovered? They discovered that now not everything was perfect. Not everything now is good, but evil exists now. Evil exists. So what is he talking about? He said he talked about nakedness. What is that? Evil. It was perfect. Now it is wickedness. It's sin. God always knew what it was. He knew what good was, and he knew what evil was. But now, instead of trusting him, Adam and Eve should have trusted God, thinking that he knew more than we do. What was evil and what was wrong and to stay away from. Because Adam and Eve had disobeyed him, now God would not allow them to eat of the tree of life. Remember, there were two trees in there, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which that's the one they ate and God forbid, and the tree of life, which God said, it's ever eternal. Now, God wanted them to eat of the tree of life so that they would continue to live and never die. That's God's plan. But things changed drastically here after Adam and Eve disobeys God. Why would God no longer want them to eat the fruit of the tree of life? I never could figure out why they didn't want to, outside of that everything was perfect. They didn't need it. Because they had disobeyed God and were separated from them, or from him. That way they must die physically so that they would not live forever in sin. to keep them from eating the fruit of the tree and living forever in sin, God put them out of the garden. God hates sin and always punishes those that rebel against him. When Satan sinned, God put him away from his presence in heaven, just like he did Satan. And after Adam and Eve sinned, God put them out of the garden. We are not exempt when we sin. God, we're separating ourselves from that holy God. But why didn't God confer with somebody else and regarding what he should do? Because he's supreme. He is totally supreme. He is the highest, the most high. He alone can decide on what should be done so that Adam and Eve could not eat of the tree of life. Now, God put a cherubim and a flaming sword at the east of the garden to keep Adam and Eve away from the tree of life. This is a blessing. If they come back to this tree or come back to the garden, they're dead. The angel would kill them. That is a blessing. You say, death is a blessing? Yes. God was protecting them. If they got to the tree of life, then they would live in sin forever, never being able to be redeemed. So the protection, the sword with the seraphim there, God said that was a blessing. If you try to come back and eat from the tree, you're dead. God's laws and restrictions are not to make us miserable, but they're there to protect us. God showed his grace again when he put Adam and Eve out of the garden at the east of the garden. God stationed good angels called cherubim with a flaming sword to turn in every direction to prevent Adam and Eve from returning to the garden, thus denying them the access to the tree of life. If they tried to enter, they'd be physically dead. You know, we're like that. Christians are like Israel. God says, don't do this, or God says, do this. And we say, well, why do I have to do that? Or why can't we do that? In Numbers chapter 14, verse 2, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, would God that we died in the land of Egypt, or would God we'd have died in the wilderness. Why do I have to do this, God? Or why can't I do this? Everybody else is doing this. Society does this. Culture does this. So why can't I? He's protecting us. He's protecting us. He's blessing us. So he drove, verse 24 in Genesis 3, so he drove out the man and placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims with a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the tree alive. God now must make a way back. And God's the only one that can do it. There was absolutely no way Adam and Eve could gain access to the tree of life. None. Once God put Adam and Eve out of the garden, there was nothing they could do to get back in to eat from that tree. Without a redeemer, nothing else would work. If God doesn't make a way back to him, they're destined for eternal punishment. So now, the only thing they can do, not go to confession, not light candles, not do Hail Marys, none of that stuff. The only thing they can do is believe and trust in the promise God made to them in Genesis 3:15. That God promised to send a deliverer. And if they will put their faith and trust in him and in God's promise, they'd have eternal life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love to us. Ask God that you would help us as we study these different truths. Lord, how you protect us through laws and regulations and stuff. And thank God for making a way back for us and for the rest of the world. Help us to be faithful to show others that way. In His name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Get around.